All right, let's let me see where we are. I started out with 3 pages, and I just keep adding to it. I'm up to 7 now. So we got a little more time with the Shekinah glory. All right, let me see. Let me get over here where I was supposed to be. I think that I want you to turn to First Corinthians 15. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. All right, now what we're doing now is we're looking at reasons why the Lord Jesus must return. All right, why the Lord Jesus must return. And we have pointed out several things, several reasons why. I said, first of all, so he can release all of creation from the curse that was brought upon it when Adam sinned against God. Then the second reason was, let's see, where did I go from there? Yeah, the second reason was to do away with the curse that is upon all the animals and the fish and the birds. All that's going to be removed. You'll remember that Isaiah talked about how the lion will lay down with a lamb. And normally a lion would look at a lamb and think lamb chops. All right, but during the millennium, after the Lord Jesus returns, he is going to remove that curse that was placed upon the animals, and they will no longer fear man, but will instead be tame, so that we can enjoy their presence, and we don't have to fear them, and they will no longer fear us. And then the next thing we saw, the Lord must return because he promised in Zephaniah chapter 3 that he was going to give the earth one language again, one language. Where the language was confounded at the Tower of Babel because of wickedness and because of sin, the Lord says that, Zephaniah says that the world is, during millennium, will go back to one language. So everybody on the planet will be able to communicate with everybody else on the planet without a translator or without some kind of translation device. And then fourthly, I said the Lord must return to vindicate his claim to be the Son of God. He claimed very clearly that he was the Son of God and that he was the Savior of mankind. And so he must return. You know, there's a lot of folks that reject that claim. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. They reject Christ. They reject God. They reject his claims, and they don't believe in God at all. I had a fellow one time tell me he was an atheist, and I said, "Really?" And I said, "Do you use God's name in vain?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Do you curse using God's name as a curse word?" He said, "Well, yeah, doesn't everybody?" I said, "No, I don't. I don't." But I said, "Isn't it funny how You say you don't believe in God, and yet you use God's name when you curse. I said, that's kind of funny to me. I would think that that you would believe in God regardless. And he said, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, suppose that you stuck your finger in a light socket. Who would you cry out to? He got real quiet. He didn't answer either. So we know that's true, don't we? All right. You let an atheist stick his finger in a light socket and see who the first person he cries out to is. And I'll guarantee you it won't be the devil. All right. And then fifth, I said it's necessary for the Lord Jesus to return to complete the work of redemption that he began in us when we called upon his name. So that's where we're going to go tonight. And we'll see how far we get. All right. So let me read the text to you here this evening. I want you to look, please, in chapter 15. And I'll begin reading in verse 14. And in verse 14, Paul said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. All right. Now, vain means empty. There's nothing to it. All right. It's just noise. It's just words. It's a Kamala word salad. All right. And he said, then your faith is also in vain. Well, I can tell you right now, my faith's not in vain. And I think you feel the same way. And the reason that it's not is because the Lord Jesus did resurrect from the grave, just like he said he would. And so we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. All right. In verse 15, he said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Perished. All right. So if Christ is still in the grave, we don't have a salvation. That's what Paul's saying there. We just simply don't have a salvation. And he said in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. All right, I'll stop reading right there. Let's pray, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week. All right, let's pray. Father, we now come and ask for your richest blessings to be upon us as we open your precious word. And Father, I pray you'll help me as I teach this tonight. I pray you'll give me the words to say and help me to say clearly what I need to say. And Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I just pray that you will bless our hearts with what we're about to learn. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. All right, I'm saying number five, that the Lord Jesus must return to complete the work of redemption that he began in us when we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Now, you have heard me say that on a number of occasions, I'm sure, but you have heard me say that right here tonight, you are as saved as you can be. But you are not as saved as you're going to be. All right, so right now you are as saved as you can be. But you are not as saved as you are going to be. You see, right now, when you trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, God saves your soul. He saves your soul. Now, man is a tripart being. We are created in the image of God. God is three yet one, and so God made us three parts yet one. We are body, all right? We are soul, and we are spirit. Now, I want you to know the difference between the three, all right? Your body is under the curse of sin. That's why you get old. That's why your hair turns gray or turns loose. That is why your teeth fall out. That is why your hearing goes. That is why, you know, you age. It is under the curse of sin. And we need to understand that when we got saved, God did not save our body. Now, I know we all wish he had, but not yet, all right? That's the part of you that is yet to be saved, all right? Right now, our bodies are still under the curse. And so we are body, and the body is the house that the soul lives in. All right? Your body is a tabernacle, and the soul lives in your body, your tabernacle. All right? Now understand this. Your soul is made up of three parts as well. It is your mind. In other words, everything you think, it is your mind, your will, everything you choose to do, and it is your emotions, everything you feel. That's you, all right? That's the real you. That's the person that you are. And it's really... it's really interesting when you stop and break down the soul in that way. That's your person. And that part of you, by the way, listen carefully. That part of you is the part that God says is eternal. You remember when God created man? In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, and God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Hebrew word for living there is the idea of eternal. Man became an eternal soul. And that's why Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say all the time, you must live somewhere forever. You must live somewhere forever. And you're either going to live in heaven because you have received Christ as your Savior, or you're going to live forever in hell because you have rejected Christ as your Savior. All right, so that's the soul. Now, inside that soul is the real you. And inside that soul, there are there is another part of you. You see, the soul is the way that we communicate with one another. You are looking at my body, but you are listening to my soul. You're listening to my mind, my will, and my emotions, such as it is. All right? But there's another part of us. Now remember, your soul is lost in its natural state. But there is another part of us that lives inside that soul, and that is your spirit. All right? So the soul is how we communicate one with another. The spirit is how we communicate with God. Amen. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened," that word means to make alive. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so when we get saved, our soul is quickened and our spirit is quickened, made alive. All right, so we can fellowship with one another in Christ, but we can also fellowship with God now because our spirit has been made alive. All right, you see that? That's real important, and I'm afraid that there are a lot of people who just, they never stop to think about that. But that is how we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said. All right, so there is no doubt that the Lord Jesus finished and fully completed all that he came to do in the flesh when he was here 2,000 years ago. The first time he came on purpose, with a purpose, and he accomplished that purpose. What was that purpose? Well, it was to make a way for us to get back in fellowship with God. Fellowship that had been broken because of sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood for our salvation. So he did everything right when he came the first time. And because he did everything right on the third day, after he died for our sin, he was resurrected. God raised his own son from the dead. And so he has done everything correctly. All right? But all that he did, now listen carefully and let me explain. Don't jump up and say, heretic. Because I'm not a heretic, you know that. But let me explain, but listen carefully. There is no doubt at all, that he finished and fully completed all that he came to do in the flesh the first time he came. There's no doubt about that. All right? But all he did, listen now, all he did in his first advent was not all that is involved in our redemption. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You mean Jesus did not do everything that was necessary for our redemption? No, that's not what I said. I said in his first advent, he did in the flesh everything he needed to do for our redemption. And I hope that you will remember that I have said to you many, many times that God is certainly not finished with this old world yet. And he certainly is not finished working on us. Amen. All right? There's a whole lot more that needs to be done. And the truth is, much remains to be done, and the nature of which requires that we await his return at the end of the tribulation period. Among the many things that are yet to be accomplished are the resurrection of the body, all right, which is not saved. Now, we all can look around and remember that so-and-so and his wife sat in this pew. They sat in this spot, and now they're not here. Where'd they go? Well, they died. You say, well, why'd they die? Because the wages of sin is death. That's why they died. And when they died, their souls, which were saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, their souls went on to be with the Lord. Amen. With that soul went that spirit. Okay? But the body stayed here. And we had a funeral service. And then we all went to the cemetery and we said goodbye for now, with the promise that Jesus is coming again. All right, so why is he coming back? He is coming back to gather our bodies at the rapture, take our bodies and reunite our bodies with our souls. You say, but now wait a minute, the body has been corrupting in the grave. I know. And that's why Paul tells us, for example, look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a what? Mystery. Now, what's a mystery? Well, it's something for which there is no natural explanation to it. Okay? What are we used to? What is the program that we are familiar with? Well, the program is we live and then we die and then we're buried and then we wait. All right, that's the program. All right, Carroll County, a matter of fact, the whole earth is nothing more than a huge graveyard. All those who have gone on before us. And so now, what do we do? Well, we sit here and those of us who are still living, we are looking for our blessed hope, the Lord Jesus to come back and get us. All right, and then at the end of the tribulation period, the Lord Jesus to bring all of us with him back to this earth to complete God's plan for mankind and for the earth. All right, that's what we're waiting on. Now look at this. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is what we're used to. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep there is the Greek word cemeteros. We get our English word cemetery from that word. But because the King James translators translated this sleep, some people in the past have come up with a doctrine they call the doctrine of soul sleep. Well, that's not taught in the Bible. You say, well, it says right there, we shall not all sleep. That doesn't mean in church either. All right? We shall not all sleep. What it means is we shall not all make it to the cemetery. That's what he's saying. We shall not all make a trip to the cemetery. I hope I don't have to. How about you? Exactly. I want the Lord to come back. I want to be raptured. I don't want to die. Have all you walk past my casket and say, oh, doesn't he look natural? No, he's dead. Doesn't look natural at all. If I was looking natural, I'd have my mouth open. Right? Yeah, you better not. I'm taking notes. All right, so we shall not all sleep. But here's the good news, folks. But we shall all be changed. All right, now who's all? All the redeemed. All right, so that means that those who have died and we have put their bodies in the grave, they're going to be changed. When the Lord steps out and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, then what we're going to see is they're going to be alive, a resurrection. And they're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a zombie apocalypse. All right, so please, all this garbage going on television. We're not going to see that. There's no such thing as zombies. All right? They're going to come out of the tomb. They're going to come out of the grave. And they're going to be alive. A resurrection body. What kind of body is it going to be? By the way, we're going to be changed too. Those of us who are alive and remain. Now, do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because these that we've placed in the grave, their bodies are in the process of decay. It has a curse upon it. And it decays. When it's dead, when the soul has been removed, then that body starts the process of decaying. The minute you're born, you start the process of dying. Sad, isn't it? But that's the truth. And so what we see here, Paul said, we shall all be changed. Now, those that are in the ground, buried, dead, they can't go to heaven particles. You know, they can't go to heaven dead. So when they're resurrected, they're going to be resurrected with a body. And here's the neat thing. John said that body is going to be like unto Christ's glorified body. Amen. We're going to see him as he is. Now, you can't do that in these bodies. These bodies are not equipped for heaven. If there was some way you could get up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, if you didn't have a new glorified body, gravity would shove you back down. Then you'd be dead all over again. All right? You see the point? We got to be changed, folks. We've got to be, and that's the promise. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's why in verse 51, Paul said, it's a mystery. I don't understand it either, but I believe it. I don't know how he's going to do that. But man, I'm excited about it, aren't you? All right? Now, how's this going to happen? Well, look at verse 52. In a moment. in the twinkling of an eye. That's the amount of time that the sun will sparkle off of your eye. The twinkling of an eye. Can you imagine? I mean, you talk about a split second. That's a split second. At the last trump, that's not Donald Trump. All right, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. All right, the Bible's built-in dictionary explains to you what a trump is. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. What's the next word? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. That's how it's going to happen. Man, I'm excited about that. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Amen. All right, so these bodies in their present state cannot enter into heaven. They just cannot. They're not equipped to go to heaven. Now, you know what that tells me, folks? All right, some of y'all not going to like this. That tells me these folks who come back, you know, from the hospital, and they start all of a sudden telling this big yarn about how they died and they went to heaven and they, you know, Jesus said this and Jesus said that and all that. No, that was morphine doing that to you. All right, that was morphine doing that to you. I don't know how else to explain that. But, you know, these bodies are not equipped for heaven. They're just not equipped. I don't know. You know, I'm glad that one of these days all our questions are going to be answered, aren't you? People come and ask me this stuff all the time. I answer one way, I get hammered. I answer another way, I get hammered. I don't mean hammered with alcohol. Please don't go there. I mean hammered. Sledgehammered. There you go. But you see, folks, I mean, I don't have the answers to all these things. I remind you, the Lord said the secret things belong to God. But I tell you, when some of these folks, you know, I saw Jesus. Oh, yeah? What did he look like? Well, you know, he had long hair and a beard. What? Long hair and a beard. No, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. No, he didn't. Well, how do you know that? Well, I've seen that picture of Jesus. You know, it hung in my Sunday school class when I was a little boy. No, you saw an artist's rendition. The Jews did not have long hair. They had beards, but they did not have long hair. Jesus was not a long-haired man. As a matter of fact, Paul said, it's a shame for a man to have long hair.
Thank God.
And yeah, like you got anything to worry about. You couldn't grow hair if you wanted to.
I got hair, look.
Do what?
I got hair on the beard.
Even with Rogaine. Any kind of gain. All right, you see the point, folks? I don't have all the answers, but I sure got a lot of questions, don't you? But thank God one of these days our questions are going to be answered. All right, now, these bodies are not equipped for heaven. So in verse 50 of this chapter, look at this. He said, now this I say, brethren. Now look, I didn't write this. All right? This is what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh, hey, look here, flesh and blood. All right, now if you cut me, I'm going to, If I cut you, you're going to bleed. So flesh and blood, what's the next word?
Cannot.
You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word means. It means cannot. Can't. No way. Cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. All right, so, you know, Paul answers it for us. Oh, well, I died and I went to heaven and I saw Jesus and he had long hair and a beard and I'm sorry, you didn't. You didn't. You say, listen, even Paul was confused about all this. Do you realize that? Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, just one book over. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now here, he's going to, in other words, he's saying, I'm going to talk to you about this question you had about visions and revelations. But notice that he really doesn't have anything to say. He's just going to tell a story. And notice he's a little skeptical about even telling the story because he does not tell us, although we all believe it was him himself that he was talking about. But look at what he said. I knew a man. He did not say, I, Paul. He said, I knew a man in Christ. In other words, a saved man about 14 years ago. Now watch this. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Now, you know, that tells me something. That tells me that up in heaven, when we die and go up to heaven, we're just going to be us. All right? We're just going to be us. All right? No zombie apocalypse or anything like that. We're just going to be us. Paul said, did I have a body? I don't know. Was I in the body or out of the body? I don't know. He said, God knows. But God never told me. That's what he's saying there. And then he said, such an one caught up to the third heaven. All right, now, how many heavens are there? He said there's three, right? There's this atmosphere that we breathe. Then there's space, and then there's the place, all right? And then some say there's a seventh heaven, and that's when you kiss your girlfriend. I don't know how true that is. But nonetheless, he said, I knew such a man, and again, he goes back to it, whether in the body or out of the body. I don't know. I can't tell. But God knows how that he was caught up into paradise, into heaven, into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that God had given him, There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you say, well, Paul went up there. His soul went up there. His body did not go up there. His soul went up there. You say, well, how'd that happen? Do you remember when he was stoned to death outside of Derby? You remember that? They pulled him outside the city and stoned him. And the Bible says, and thinking him to be dead, they left. Just left him there. He was, in their minds, nobody could have survived what had just taken place. Buried under rocks. Not little pebbles, rocks. They would put them against the walls of the city or put them down in a pit, and they would just hurl rocks down upon them. They kept the rocks there so that when they went to stone somebody, they didn't have to go find the ammunition. It was right there. It was instant. And they picked those rocks up and put them over their heads and hurl them down and bury that person to his death under rocks. Amazing. Scary. Scary. But they left Paul for dead. Could that have been where? Could he have died? Certainly. And if he died, his soul left his body. Lester Roloff used to go all over the country saying, Paul got up to heaven, looked around, didn't see any churches that needed to be built. He looked around, everybody up there was saved. So he said, Lord, if it's all right with you, I'd like to just go back. I'm not quite done yet. And the Lord said, well, okay. And the Lord sent him back. And there he comes crawling out of the rocks. I got a lot of questions. I know you do too. But there's some things God just does not reveal to us. All right? I did not mean to get into all that. All right? You know how far we went? About that far. About that far. Did not. All right, we'll pick it up here. We got plenty of time. All right. We ain't going anywhere unless the rapture happens. Even so come. Yes. And when he comes, we'll know even as we're known. Won't be any more questions. Hallelujah. Only answers. I want to just get in a little corner somewhere up in heaven one of these days and just have Paul explain to me what happened here. I'd just like to have him explain it. You know, when we're all speaking one language, all right? The pure language, heaven's language. I just want to hear it from his own lips. Be amazing, won't it? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Just thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for these things that we can read from your word and be encouraged and be strengthened. And Father, I pray you'll help us to see that our blessed hope is real, that our Savior is coming again. He's coming again at the rapture to receive us, to resurrect us, and to take us up to heaven to be with him forever and ever. And Father, we're looking forward to that day. And I just pray now that you'll take what we've learned tonight and help us to study it, to think on it, to go over it again and again and again in our minds, And Father, to just learn these basic things about the Christian life that are so helpful when we think about our future and we think about the death that is surely coming upon all of us if our Savior tarries his coming. And so, Father, help us to not fear what's coming, but to look for it in anticipation and excitement. And we'll rejoice in what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.